Data.
No, it's Doug.
Exactly, Doug. Data.
Doug Data. It's Doug Smith.
I know that, but Data.
Are you trying to say something?
I am. It's all about the
Data. I get it. Or more to the point, I know where to get it if I need it.
What?
Data.
Oh, of course. Right. I'm sorry. And if you sell on eBay, and if you're listening to this podcast, we assume you are, then you need access to data. Specifically, data that can help you steer your selling on eBay. Hey, remember that one? To new heights.
Exactly. Sold item research, for example.
Oh, yeah. Or our old favorite, explore.ebay.com.
Or even better, Terapeak.
Ah, Terapeak. And that's the focus of our show this week. Terapeak. What it is and how to use it.
And now it's free to all eBay store subscribers.
Oh, it is indeed. Yet another reason to subscribe to an eBay store if you aren't already. I'm Griff, and this is the eBay for Business podcast, your weekly source for the information and inspiration you need to start, run, and grow a business on the world's most powerful marketplace. Hello, Doug.
Hello, Griff.
Tell the folks at home what we have for them this week, Terapeak.
First up, we visit with two sellers who are also podcasters, Mike and Orlando from Pure Hustle Podcast. They use Terapeak, they like Terapeak, and they want to talk about...
Terapeak. I'm sensing a theme here.
And then from the eBay side to discuss...
Terapeak.
Our good friend in our Salt Lake City office, Chris Van Wagner, will call in to go over Terapeak's features in detail.
Terapeak, Terapeak, Terapeak. It's a tsunami of Terapeak. But that's not all we have, is it?
Of course not. We also have the regular stuff.
The podcast boilerplate, if you will.
Like your questions / our answers.
Is that what we're calling that segment now?
Yes, I like it.
Well, I do too. And?
Jen Deal with What's Hot, the college edition.
So much content, so little time.
Let's turn the ignition on this thing.
Gladly, Maestro. It's time to smoothly segue into the news. A one and a two. I'm Griff, but you already knew that, and this is The Buzz. Besides the fact that Doug is back, this is a special buzz, and we'll talk about that in a moment. Welcome, Doug.
Hi, Griff.
How are you handling Alan being out still?
Fine, good. Thanks for asking. Time gives us space.
That's it? That's all you got? Last week, you were pretty broken up. Remember, I had to slap you to bring you around.
Thank you for doing that, by the way. You have a gentle hand, like a sage Ike Turner.
Jeez.
But I told myself I wouldn't cry this week, Griff. Let's just proceed with the buzz if we could, please. I really don't want to talk about it.
No.
But in Ireland-related news, eBay Ireland, Griff, where my eBay Alan is from, has turned 15. Labrehana Dit.
Yeah, I don't know
if on
you
Monday,
said that
May 10th,
right.
2004, eBay officially launched in Dublin, Ireland. Since opening, the team has grown to over 1,000 employees across two Dublin locations and pioneered the eBay at home customer service working model. Team Ireland planned a monumental week of events, insights, and fun, plus a car park party and lots of cake. I wonder if Alan was there.
Oh, I doubt it. It was his vacation. He's not going into the office. Do you know what else is special about the month of June besides it's busting out all over?
Well, it's Pride Month, Griff, and eBay is doing a ton to celebrate Pride around the world as we do every year.
That's right, Doug. Every year our employees join Pride celebrations in a number of cities. Starting this month, eBay will join the global community to increase visibility, enhance awareness, and drive inclusion for all LGBTQ+ individuals. And the theme for this year's events is Do Something Brave in honor of the 50th anniversary of the Stonewall Riots, a catalyst for the gay rights movement in the United States. I remember it well. Dominique Hollins is our eBay Seller Diversity Ambassador, stopped by recently to talk about some of the things we're doing both at eBay headquarters and in the local communities to support Pride this year. Dominique is the Senior Manager of Marketplace Diversity. Dominique, welcome to the show. I hear you've got some things you want to talk about here on The Buzz.
I do. Hey, Griff. Long time no see.
I know what Marketplace Diversity means, but I know that our audience is going to wonder, what does that mean? Can you tell us what that means?
Marketplace Diversity, I think, is newer in the discussion of diversity and inclusion. The tech industry doesn't get the best rep for diversity at our companies. And they typically over-index on the hiring process. Where are you recruiting? And then the retention. How do you keep folks at the company? What many of our companies are missing within the industry is the marketplace. How does it drive the bottom line? There are inferences that it happens organically, but when it's intentional, it's deliberate and you can track it. So that's what my role is here at eBay. I focus on how do we reflect the voices across 180 million customers in 190 markets? How do we make sure we have accurate representation? What products are we focused on? And then how do we market that throughout the year?
How do we do diversity at eBay?
We have a three-pillar strategy for diversity at eBay. The first one is our workforce. Who and how we hire. Where are we finding these folks? Where are we recruiting to make sure we have the best and the brightest, regardless of your background? Part two is our workplace. Once we recruited them, we got them excited about being at eBay, but what does it feel like when they get here? Are we being inclusive of that experience? Are we making sure there's a sense of belonging so they can be most effective in the job that they were hired for? And then lastly, our marketplace. How are we reflecting our customers in the communities where we are present? Are we really reflecting our sellers in Oklahoma the way we are our sellers in New York City and in California and in Idaho, et cetera? So being very intentional about the holistic value diversity brings at eBay and how we are all engaged in that process, including bringing our sellers along with us.
How do you think we're doing on these 3 points?
I think there is initial movement in that we're starting the conversations. A lot of people don't want to talk about this because it's uncomfortable. But for the marginalized communities and the underrepresented communities, they don't have the choice to not talk about it. They are constantly fighting for equality and civil rights. And so as we do that, it helps our economy. Once we make sure we have equality, it helps to make sure we have a healthy ecosystem once everyone participates. So we're at the beginning phases.
And that's the key word for me. Everyone participates.
Everyone participates, right. But they have to know that they can. And eBay was bought, we were created by creating economic opportunity. But what Pierre Omidyar said that I will never forget is that we are all born equally capable, but we are not all born with equal opportunity. And once that opportunity is created, then sky is not the limit. Sky is the beginning. Mm. And then you excel beyond that. So that's what it's like here. And I'm super excited that we're getting started. We have a lot more to do. But I love that our sellers and our employees and our executives are on board so we get this right.
So we're celebrating diversity at eBay, but we're also celebrating something else very soon.
And yes.
I think you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yes. What I want to do today is bring to our sellers an opportunity to join us. So here's what's going on. For those who do not know, it is National Pride Month in the United States. This is a community that struggled with civil rights for a while, and what eBay is doing in support of our United and Pride community. On Sunday, June 30th, for probably the sixth year in a row, Griff, you can correct me. We've been marching for a while.
I think it's six, yes.
This is 6 years in a row that eBay as a company will have marched in the San Francisco Pride Parade.
A huge parade.
Huge parade. There are about 1 million people in San Francisco from all walks of life that come together on that day. And the one thing they care about is equality for this community. But what makes eBay so special is that for the past 3 years, our CEO has marched with us. Now, there are many CEOs who have walked maybe one time, maybe two times. But Devin has walked with us now mm-hmm. 3 times,
yeah.
Which is a commitment from the leadership at the top.
And he's not on the float. He's actually walking.
He is on the ground. Not only is he tall, but he walks the entire route. And he has as much energy as some of the younger folks that come with their family and friends. So what I want to do today is extend that invitation to our sellers. For the past several years, we have found ways to kind of reach out to you all in our small silos, but with the power of the podcast, with the engagement that you all have shown, we would like to share that with you today. So here's what I'm asking. On Sunday, June 30th, the led by United and Pride, eBay's LGBTQ community, and in partnership with our employees, our San Francisco and San Jose employees will be marching in the San Francisco Pride Parade. For those who are in the area, we are not suggesting that you fly in. We're not suggesting you invest in travel unless you want to.
We're not going to stop you.
We won't stop you. But this is something that if you're in the area, we invite you to join us. And what that entails is we have a private breakfast with eBay that morning at a secret location, only available to those who say, yes, I'm in and I'm coming. That includes breakfast, food, face painting, bubbles, just to get the excitement going for those who are attending. Mm-hmm. There are family and friends who are going as well. Yeah. You're invited to join us. And also, there will be a shuttle from the eBay headquarters in San Jose to the parade in San Francisco and back.
So no parking or driving?
No parking. You can get excited on the way up and excited on the way back. If you have a family member, if you yourself are a member of this community, if you are an ally, someone who advocates for the equality of this community, whether you have friends, sisters, relatives, if you want to come and bring a plus one or maybe a plus two, we invite you to do that. I am allowing you to personally email me at dohollins, D-O-H-O-L-L-I-N-S, at eBay. This is not normal. I don't normally give that email out.
But you just did.
I did.
And I'm not editing it.
He's not. And you know what? I don't want you to. Because for those who are here, here's what I asked you to do. If you do want to join, send me a message. And in the subject, put I'm in big letters. And put San Francisco Pride. I will prioritize those emails and make sure that I get back to you. That will be my commitment to you for this journey. And I will personally make sure all the sellers who sign up are treated well and that you all are accommodated when you get here. So it is also my mother's birthday. This will be the first time my mother has marched with me.
Oh, that's great.
So this is life-changing for me, but it's also beautiful to do it with our colleagues and with our sellers and our customers. So I would love if you all would join us.
Dominique, I want to thank you. It's been a pleasure.
You're most welcome.
We've been speaking with Dominique Hollins. There she goes. So, Doug, what'd you think?
That was great, Griff. I'm always happy and proud to stand by my friends and my coworkers as a Pride ally.
And we're glad you do. We've come a long way, but there's always still a long way to go. All right, Doug, what else do you have?
More information will be coming soon, but we are continuing to migrate to Seller Hub.
Yeah.
Seller Manager and Seller Manager Pro are going away, and by the end of July, sellers should be using Seller Hub.
Now, if you're not using Seller Hub, now's the time to start using the powerful analytics tool that we call Seller Hub. Seller Hub offers everything you need to build and grow your business on eBay. I couldn't live without it. Explore it now. It's a great product. It is much, 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 much better than either Seller Manager or Seller Manager Pro.
That is true. Now, to get to your Seller Hub, you can simply go to ebay.com/sellerhub while logged into eBay. And here's the plug.
I love a plug.
That's true. Seller Hub is a single destination to manage and improve your entire business on eBay. From Seller Hub, you can monitor the overall status of your business. You can manage your listings and orders. You can monitor current performance of your business. And you can access insights and guidance that can help you grow your business, Griff.
And I know it sounds like PR, but I really feel this is true. It's a powerful tool. I couldn't live without it as a seller. And if you're not using it, if you're part of that small minority that hasn't migrated prior to this, take my word for it. I know the change is tough, but this is a change that's really, really has nothing. It has nothing but benefits for you. You will not believe that you waited this long. So what do we have from the community this week, Doug?
Well, we had some search questions this week. Search questions come up regularly, and we always try to provide guidance and send questions and feedback to the search team. Remember, that algorithm learns as it goes, so follow the guidance we put out there and optimize those listings. For search tips, you can go to ebay.com Seller Center and search for search or SEO or search engine optimization.
Now, we had some recent internet sales tax updates as well, and I know our sellers want to hear that.
Yes, Griff. More states started collecting internet sales tax as of July 1st. We have updated our buyer and seller help pages. See the links in this episode's transcript. Basically, the following states have started collecting internet sales tax as of July 1st. Alabama, Arkansas, Indiana, Kentucky, New Mexico, Oklahoma, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, South Dakota, Virginia, West Virginia, Wyoming, and Vermont. Another group starts collecting October 1st. So check the community seller news announcements and our help pages for all of the latest information.
There's an important thing I need to talk about here. When your state starts collecting sales tax, you may still need to report your taxable sales, but you don't need to send money to the states. You'll have to indicate that those taxes were paid, and it's going to be different. So do that exploratory work now. You're not going to have to submit money, but you may, depending on the state you're in, you may still have to report your taxable sales on a regular schedule. Some states it's yearly, some states it's twice a year. Here in California, I have to do it every quarter.
Well, thank you for that additional detail, Chris.
And besides that, you are responsible for paying all fees and taxes associated with using eBay as an eBay seller. So for more information on eBay's tax policy and your obligations, you can see our tax policy and user agreement, which again, we'll link to in the transcripts. Your tax-related responsibilities may include paying sales tax on eBay sales, paying income tax on eBay sales, and informing overseas buyers about import charges.
Good till canceled discussion remains a regular topic in community, Griff. Mm. And community members are providing each other advice on how to stay organized and adapt to eBay changes. And of course, the community team continues to engage to clarify policy and provide resources.
Anything else in the news, Doug?
Well, Griff, you'll be excited about this one as it's sports related. The inaugural class of the eBay Baseball Card Hall of Fame was unveiled, comprised of 10, count them 10, all-time greats whose cards rank among those that have consistently maintained the highest value over the years and held significant influence in the collectible industry.
By the way, the holy grail of baseball cards, a 1952 Topps Mickey Mantle that is valued at more than, is this real? $10 million?
Yeah, that's true.
Jeez, it's on display as part of a baseball memorabilia exhibit at the Colorado History Museum. You'd now, think just think would... if you had bought all those, you could when you were like 6 years old. You could put your parents at a good retirement home.
That's right. Right. Or if your mom hadn't thrown them out with your comic books.
Oh, everything got thrown out. Everything. I had such valuable treasures. Let's not go there.
That's quite a card. You'd think it would be the size of a building, but it's merely the size, Griff, of a baseball card.
Right, which means you can put it in your, you know, remember we used to use clothespins and you'd put them in your tires so that the spokes on your bicycle would make a sound?
That's true.
Destroying a $10 million card in the process? What did we know?
That's right. Wandering off in the woods looking for bodies or clowns or things like that.
I don't know. Where is this going?
Oh.
Sorry.
Stephen King references.
Yeah, well, okay.
Well, Griff,
yeah.
Back to our baseball
please.
Mini theme here. Get highlighting it. The group is former Yankees closer Mariano Rivera, the first player ever elected unanimously by the Baseball Writers Association of America earlier this year. They couldn't play it, so they had to write about it.
Yeah.
Also included are Pete Rose.
Oh, he got in?
Yeah, he made it in.
Finally.
We're all betting against it, but who knew? Babe Ruth, Cal Ripken Jr.
Oh, I remember him. Yeah.
Yes. Ozzie Smith, Mickey Mantle, Ken Griffey Jr., Nolan Ryan, Ted Williams, and Stan Musial.
Mm.
I know you know the song, Griff.
Yeah, what is it?
Take me out to the ball game.
Oh, jeez.
Take me out with the crowd.
Oh, brother.
Buy me some peanuts and clacklebacks.
Yeah. You.
Guess what, Griff?
What's that, Douglas?
That's all the news that fits this week.
Finally, this has been The Buzz. Coming up next, it's time for the main story. Now it's time for the feature we call The Main Story, and we're here with two sellers who are also podcasters, Orlando and Mike, eBay sellers and hosts of the podcast called Pure Hustle Podcast. Our theme today is Terapeak and how to use it. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thanks for having us, Griff.
Yeah, thank you so much. We're glad to be here.
Well, it's my pleasure. So first, what are your seller IDs and how long have you been selling on eBay?
My seller ID is Swift Media, and I'm actually a relatively new seller. I've only been selling for about a year.
That's long enough to figure some things out.
That's right.
No, Mike's figured out a lot. That's been good. And I'm Orlando, and my store is Londo's Loot. And I've been selling off and on for the last 2 decades, but I didn't get really serious about eBay until probably about 7 years ago.
So I think you have street cred.
Just a little bit.
Do you guys sell separately?
Yes, we each have our own store, so we sell separately. But we sell a little bit of everything. Like I have an eclectic store. We do most of our sourcing at garage sales and thrift stores. I've got everything from vintage electronics to women's shoes to duck decoys.
Well, it sounds like my closet.
Mike does like his duck decoys,
that's
I would
right.
say.
Orlando, do you sell the same sort of merchandise?
I'm a little different. I would say I'm very big on clothing, and it's kind of adapted. Harley and like Hawaiian shirts, kind of like you, Griff, a little bit from back in the day. I learned a lot from you.
Oh.
I'll never forget, years ago, you had on eBay for Radio, right? And this is a continuation of eBay for Radio.
Sure, yeah.
When you were with Lee, you had talked about getting Hawaiian shirts and getting a board and stretching it out with binder clips or something to that effect. I don't know if that's exactly what you said.
Yeah, I tortured my shirts.
Okay, that's what it was. And I remember going, you know what? I can do this.
Of course.
And, you know, that's what we tell all of our listeners that are brand new. You don't need a lot to get started. I started with Hawaiian shirts and Harley, and then I still sell a lot of Harley.
Yeah.
Just because it's whatever I land upon, and it still sells well for me. I do a lot of shoes, but I do, like Mike, I do sell a lot of electronics. I like collectible items. We fall into Department 56 stuff sometimes. It's just whatever we end up finding, and we like to treasure hunt.
Yeah, we consider ourselves professional treasure hunters.
If that's what you call it.
So how did you guys meet, and how did that lead to the Pure Hustle podcast?
It's actually kind of interesting. We're both educators, and I was a high school English teacher, and Orlando was my vice principal. So we kind of just started with that, like, kind of a friendship. Like
I had to write him up a couple of times.
That's joking. That's not true. But I remember he would always talk about reselling. He'd mention things to me and I would be like, wow, that's cool. And I would actually bring him my boxes. Like I'd get boxes from Amazon and stuff, and I'd bring him my leftover boxes. And one day I was kind of getting interested, especially as the summer was coming up. And I was like, can I do this? Can I make a little bit of money?
Let's rewind a little bit. Mike bringing me boxes would always cause me problems because I would have these serious meetings, like disciplinary or, you know, a kid that's struggling. And I'd always have to move these boxes out of the way that Mike would drop off in front of my office every morning. So anyways, all right, let's get back to Mike.
Just trying to help out, you know.
Right.
But summertime is coming up. And as a teacher, you don't have income over the summer always. So I was kind of interested in making a little bit of extra money. Specifically, I do video stuff. I'm a videographer on the side. So I wanted to get some more equipment. So I asked Rolando, I said, do you think I'd be able to make a few hundred dollars selling? And he's like, yeah, I could teach you easy. And I said, well, what if you teach me how to resell and we make a podcast about it and we talk about from somebody who's a little bit more of a veteran reseller to somebody who's a complete noob. And that way our audience can get from both perspectives.
Oh, and now here you are, your podcasters and sellers on eBay, and you're flying high. Hey, you know what we're here to talk about today is Terapeak. Do you use Terapeak?
Yes, we do. Obviously, Mike, and he'll explain a little bit, he's kind of new to Terapeak. I've used Terapeak for years. I definitely use it a lot more now that it's free with the store subscription, which is definitely a plus. It's a great tool, and the data in there is invaluable when you're trying to make multiple decisions, whether it comes to sourcing, to pricing, to trends, and so on.
Yeah, when we first started the podcast, Rolando had occasionally mentioned Terapeak, and as a new reseller, it was one of those things I was like, yeah, paid subscription for something. Maybe as I grow, I might move into that. But when he mentioned a little while ago, like, hey, this is a free thing now, I started looking into it and learning, and I tell you what, it's been a game changer as far as research and being able to find, am I pricing items correctly? Am I competitive in the market as far as shipping? All of these things. And as a podcast, like one of the number one things we talk about and we try to emphasize to our listeners is research is crucial. Like having knowledge, being able to understand the pricing and all of that is so important when you're sourcing and when you're listing. So it's been awesome to be able to use Terapeak for that, specifically because Terapeak gives you that year-long view as opposed to the 90-day view that eBay's native program gives you.
Yeah. So take us through this. I'm assuming that when you're both outsourcing things, you take your phones with you and check Terapeak? And if so, how does that work? How do you use it?
Right now, I think the apps are being reworked. But when the apps are available or if you just go online, you can access Terapeak. And so I'll give you an example. So you have those bread and butter items, right? And you're like, oh, I'll always pick these up, right? They always sell for a good amount.
Hawaiian shirts,
right? Yeah. I'll give you an example of ones. A UCLA Bruins Hawaiian shirt by Rain Spooner. I used to be able to sell those for $80-$100 easy.
Yikes.
Yeah. And this was like maybe 2 or 3 years ago. It had been a few years since I'd seen one, and I was at the thrift store, and they were trying to sell it for about $15 to $20 because the store's prices are going a little bit up.
Of course.
So I looked it up and on eBay, and all the comps were low, and I'm like, these buyers don't know what they're doing. So I'm like, you know, I'm going to check Terapeak and see what has it sold for at the max in the last year. And sure enough, the value had gone down, right? The average selling price that Terapeak showed over the past year was about $50 to $60. But then I looked at some of the higher listings that sold, and it's the pictures made a difference and the shipping and stuff like that. It allowed me to strategically go, okay, I can go with the average selling price, but I can also see what those a year back were selling this shirt for more. And I adjusted things and I still was able to sell it for a decent price. I think I sold it for more than $80, but I could have just gone with the recent sold on eBay and maybe left money on the table.
Yeah.
And sometimes we use it, but a lot of times with the type of reselling we're doing when we're sourcing, you're moving quickly. You're trying to get items in a store or at a garage sale and move on to the next one as fast as you can. So the 90-day eBay total does give you a lot of information that you can use on whether or not you should pick it up. The Terapeak then gives you additional information when you're listing. But even before you go out, like sometimes when you're, I know very little about Nike shoes, or I know very little about different types of markets. So a little bit of research before sourcing on Terapeak has been extremely helpful to know what are the things I should be looking for? What are those higher end items that are selling more consistently? And what is a good price to buy them at based off of the average selling price that we could see there on Terapeak.
So you could, for instance, search the top five shoes. And then you know, like, certain brands you should be on the lookout, obviously Nike and Skechers and so on. But then you could break it down even more, like, which models of the shoes should I be looking out for? And even when you're thrifting and garage selling, you can find certain shoes and go, okay, Terapeak shows that these consistently sell. So when I'm out in the wild, quote unquote, I can source these.
Thank heavens for shoes, right?
Yeah. Agreed.
One of the things I love about Terapeak is the statistics. Do you use the statistics in Terapeak for trends or to figure out what product lines maybe you should explore?
We definitely do. On my end, I use it for several purposes. One of them is to find out when it's time for me to let go of an item, right?
Yes.
It might take a long time. For example, like Patagonia chinchillas. They're these snap fleeces by Patagonia, pretty popular. They sell pretty well.
Yeah.
But right now in June and July, probably not the best time to start trying to sell those.
Yeah.
And this is an easy one, right? Because it's a winter item.
Sure.
But sometimes you hear people say things sell year-round. But, you know, you look at the Terapeak trends, it doesn't necessarily show that. It shows that, yes, the peak is still November and December, and maybe you should list it for a little bit higher based on that trend. The other way, and Mike, I'll elaborate on this a little bit, is you could do a little bit of a retail arbitrage on there.
Yeah, I've started using Terapeak for eBay arbitrage, and it's been huge, especially because you think certain items are going to be seasonal. We like to sell Lululemon gear, and so Lululemon has tank tops, and you think, okay, that's going to be a summer item. You might be able to pick them up cheaper in the winter. But when you look at Terapeak, you see there's pretty consistent prices year-round on those. Using that, you kind of know, okay, I'm not going to find a major deal on this. Whereas other items, for instance, I was looking up specific anime DVD stuff, mm-hmm. and it seemed like on this specific one that for the year, there was a low part and a high part. And if that trend continues year after year, it allows you to, in a certain time frame, a few months, to pick up items for 50% off or more, and then hold on to them. They're already packaged. Somebody sent them to you in a box. And you take the pictures and ship them back out, right, for the profit when those prices spike.
And Terapeak can help lead you through that so that you're in the right direction. You're using the right merchandise and prices.
Correct. You just go to the bottom and just hit trends. And then you can choose units sold or pricing, and it'll give you that information.
It's a love fest, but just like any love fest, there's occasional people who use the product who don't work for eBay. How would you improve Terapeak? What would be your suggestions? eBay's listening.
All right. Well, I appreciate the platform. I would say metrics. And what I mean is more metrics. So for instance, it does give you the option of choosing between a US and an international buyer, but can we break it down to global shipping program?
Oh.
An international buyer.
Oh, I like
or
that.
Can we break down the shipping to not just free, but can we break it down to, is it free priority or is it free first class? Or if we can use a little bit more AI, and again, Mike probably could talk to this more than I can, but what about the pictures? Are the pictures with a white background, as eBay suggests, because they get tired in the algorithm? Or are they just run-of-the-mill pictures and that's what's bringing the price down? Just different items, be able to break down the information, because research, right? We always say research pays.
Yeah,
absolutely. And then I would say probably one of the things that would be huge would be when you're looking at the sell-through rate, or when you're looking at, if you want to look at the unsold items, you need to have that 90-day. It needs to be set to 90 days. If you set it to the year, you lose a little bit of that data. So it would be nice to see what's the sell-through rate for a year. Can we look at the unsold items so that we could see, like, is it pictures? What is separating out? What would also be nice is kind of that integration into the eBay's native app as opposed to using two separate programs.
Oh, I would love that.
Yeah. Oh, it'd be incredible.
Yeah.
One-stop shop.
Well, guess what? It's coming.
Awesome. Hey, I'd like to hear that.
Oh, my heavens, did I just open the kimono too much? Let me shut it. Well, I want to thank you both for taking time out of your busy selling, sourcing, and podcast days to come and talk to us here at eBay for Business. And I hope you'll come back. You guys are great guests.
Oh, thank you very much. And look forward to meeting you at eBay Open, hopefully.
Oh, yes, I'll be there. I'll be sitting day and night at the podcast table. I'll be very difficult to miss.
Okay, well, we'll definitely stop by and say hi.
Now, before we go, can you give everyone your seller names? Orlando, what's your seller user ID?
It is Lando's Loot.
Lando's Loot, I like it. You'll just leave out the or.
Yeah, there you go.
And Mike, what's your seller ID?
Mine is Swift Media.
Perfect. Thank you so much, you guys, for coming on the show. And I got to give a listen to Pure Hustle Podcast, and you can too.
Agreed. We're on YouTube, iTunes, Spotify. Just find us. And we're on Instagram as Pure Soul Podcast. So if you just find us on Instagram or on Facebook or on Twitter as Pure Soul Cast, you can find us on all those platforms. So we're there.
So tune in to Pure Hustle Podcast. How's that for a commercial?
That sounds incredible. Thank you, Griff.
Okay, send the check to ebay.com.
I'll write it directly to you.
No, I'm kidding, of course. Thanks again, guys. It's been great.
Yeah, take care. Thank you, Griff.
We've been speaking with Mike and Orlando. They're known together as the podcast host of a podcast called Pure Hustle Podcast. And we've been talking about Terra Peak. Now, stay tuned. First, we're going to talk with Chris Von Wagner, Senior Program Manager in eBay's selling platform, about Terra Peak in depth from the eBay side. So don't go away. Welcome to Inside eBay. We're here with Chris Von Wagner. He's the Senior Program Manager for eBay's selling platform. And our theme today, as we've said earlier, is Terra Peak, what it is and how to use it. Welcome back to the show, Chris.
Great to be back, Griff.
We just got a phone call this week on our hotline. And coincidentally, it's a question I think you might be interested in. Let's take a listen.
Hi, Chris. This is Andre. I want to ask a question about Terra Peak. I do not know how to use them. It's just like a beginner. Example, if I am searching Zara dress, just in general, then how I can get all those history, how they sell, how they move in the market, how something like that. Thank you so much.
So, Chris, what do you have for this seller?
I love that question, Griff. I know that you use Terra Peak as you list inventory on the site. And the great thing about Terra Peak is actually a couple of months back, we extended Terra Peak at no additional cost to sellers that subscribe to basic eBay stores and above. If you are a basic eBay store subscriber, a premium eBay store subscriber, an anchor store subscriber, you can go to terrapeak.com. You can enter your eBay credentials and you immediately have access to the powerful research tool that is Terra Peak. I think that one thing that sellers get caught up in is sometimes they just put very basic keyword search terms as they're doing research.
Which is what this seller did.
Exactly. And I think one of the challenges there is that there are so many listings on the eBay platform. We're talking over a billion listings globally. To try and dial down very prescriptive information, we recommend that sellers put themselves in the buyer's shoes and use very detailed titles that a buyer might use to find the product that's being listed. And this helps narrow down the information that's being provided. And with that information, you could then begin to price the inventory that you have access to. You can begin to list with compelling shipping costs, use effective titles, all sorts of different things to increase the likelihood of sale.
So for this seller, just using the word dress, or I think she said Sarah dress, is probably not going to work very well.
That's exactly right. Yeah, she'd have to expand that to be more detailed and use keywords that a buyer is likely to incorporate into that keyword search string.
Terra Peak accesses a lot of data, not just what's currently on the site, but it's historic as well.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Millions of transactions Terra Peak is sorting through to make sure that our sellers have access to the most pertinent information so that they can list their inventory effectively.
How far back does Terra Peak data go?
Some of the queries go back 90 days, similarly to how eBay is structured when you're using some of the search tools there. But also we keep data back as far as a year in some cases so that sellers have access to some seasonality information to guide their listing decisions.
More than a year doesn't seem to be practical because things change and you may find that a year ago the data that was pertinent for this listing or this particular item or category may have changed and it would be misleading.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, one of the things we're always looking into is how do we present information in an intuitive way? And if that means we can find a way to help sellers digest information that's older than a year, we'll definitely do it. The goal of Terra Peak is to make sure that we're providing very powerful information that helps sellers more effectively list their inventory.
Now, what do you see as the top benefits for a seller who's using Terra Peak? What does the program provide?
I think that at a very basic level, it helps you understand some of the market dynamics, things like supply and demand and what price points listings are actually selling at. But one thing that I think is oftentimes overlooked is that the data that's available through Terra Peak expands just beyond the millions of transactions that are there and actually shares international data. You can actually review information from 22 different international eBay markets, markets like ebay.co.uk, some of the other sites that we manage that sellers might not necessarily consider right off the bat when they're listing their inventory.
Yeah, that makes sense. Chris, you work with this product very closely. How would you improve it if you could?
The one thing that I'm very focused on is how do we incorporate Terapeak into the listing flow? I think that there are a number of sellers out there that have just grown accustomed to using Terapeak as part of their listing process, but how do we streamline this process so sellers have access to that very valuable information right away when they're creating their listing titles, when they're reviewing the listings that they have active on the site? Another thing that we're very focused on right now is what touch points along that listing flow or the transactional flow might we incorporate some of this data so that sellers have that information more readily available when they're making decisions.
Would one of the data points that you're considering be price?
Absolutely. And that's something that we're definitely focused on right now is how do we surface that information at the right place at the right time is definitely something that we're very focused on right now. We need to make it more simplistic for sellers to identify what price points they should list their inventory at. And I think that Terapeak is going to be able to provide that in the next little while.
One of the things I love about Terapeak that completed listings or even current listings doesn't provide is statistics. And Terapeak provides some really deep dive statistics. Tell us a little bit about them.
I love the statistics that Terapeak provides. As you're taking a look at selling address or an iPhone, Terapeak and using its search and research functionality helps you understand how many items have sold with those keywords, how many bids have been placed, what time of day, what day of the week these listings are typically created. And all these things, I think, that are elements of creating listings and managing your inventory are incredibly important. You can essentially become a professional at listing that particular item, given the information that's at your fingertip.
What about market trends? Do the statistics help sellers determine what market trends are impacting their particular category or items?
They absolutely do. There are a number of different market trend specifics around price and just in terms of the look back that's available that help sellers identify what's happening with that particular product or those search terms. What's interesting is as you grow as a seller, it becomes more and more difficult to manage the inventory that you have access to. Terapeak does a really nice thing in just how it presents the information graphically. So you can quickly take a look at the inventory that you have access to and see some of the trending that's happening in terms of price or sales or a host of other metrics that Terapeak uses as it's serving up data to its sellers.
Yeah, who doesn't love a graph?
I know, right?
Right, exactly right. Hey, before we close out, I wanted to ask you, as someone who's intimately familiar with the Terapeak product, what tips do you have for sellers to help them use the product more efficiently and fully?
We've talked a little bit about the international markets in which data represents inventory that's selling on eBay. But I think another area that is often overlooked is the category-specific breakdowns. I'm big on diversification as you scale your business on eBay. Mm-hmm. And I think that sometimes it's difficult as sellers look to expand their inventory into a different space to determine what space they need to expand into. With the category breakdowns, you get all the information that we talked about, you know, price, how many items have sold. You can start to understand what the competition might look like in these spaces. But just at a very high level, there's also a heat map that helps you understand how hot certain categories and subcategories are on eBay. And this makes it a lot easier to start to take inventory of the landscape and figure out what categories you might want to expand into to complement the inventory you're already offering.
It's a great tip. So not just using Terapeak for your current inventory, but if you're currently exploring the idea of expanding it to new or different product lines, Terapeak can help guide you through that to find what's going to really work for you.
That's exactly right.
Chris, I want to thank you so much. It's always a pleasure. You're our go-to guy now whenever it comes to anything product-based.
Oh, I love it. It's great chatting with you.
We'll be having you back on the show sooner than you think.
All right, perfect.
We've been talking with Chris Von Wagner. He's the Senior Program Manager here at eBay under the eBay Selling Platform team. We've been talking about Terapeak and how to use it, and the best way to learn how to use anything is to get into it and start using it right now. I hope you'll do that. Coming up next, we're going to talk about what's hot, College Edition. Every month, we check out what's hot. Lucky us in the studio today, we have our What's Hot correspondent, Jen Deal, and she's sharing with us What's Hot, College Edition. Welcome, Jen.
Thanks, Griff. So I just moved my son out of his freshman dorm, and I'm already thinking about what is needed in the fall. So today I'm going to share insights with sellers about what they might want to prepare to list and sell in the coming weeks.
Well, good. Talk about being a planner.
It's true. Benjamin Franklin himself said, "By failing to prepare, you are preparing to fail."
Oh, that's so true. Mm-hmm. I like that. Okay, let's get into this segment. We usually think about only the freshmen moving into dorms when we refer to, quote unquote, college student shopping. How accurate is that?
Well, last fall, about 20 million students attended American colleges and universities. So it'll be about the same again this year with some new flock of freshmen coming in. And women account for the majority of that by a 3-to-1 ratio, with over 60% attending a full-time 4-year institution. Why do I throw the stats out?
Yeah, why?
Okay, because this translates to a significant opportunity to clothe and otherwise furnish a student's lifestyle. And, by the way, college starts in August for most people.
Oh, how terrible for them.
Yeah, well, for them, maybe. For the parents, not so much. Okay,
I get it.
There are some schools that will take direct deliveries these days, by the way, for students up to 10 days before school starts, which is great for out-of-state shoppers.
Hmm.
I mean, in fact, last year I did a lot of my shopping online in the week before school started and shipped directly to the dorm.
How convenient. Now, I read somewhere that 30% of back-to-school shoppers are just waiting for 1 to 2 weeks before school starts to shop. Maybe there's a correlation. The purchase window has been shrinking in recent years, right?
Yeah, actually, it absolutely has.
Or maybe people having too much summer fun, and then they run out of time, like me. August is still summer to me, but I can see why we're talking about this now. So, Jen, what are the top categories for the college edition?
Well, it should be no surprise, Griff, that they are electronics, home and garden, and fashion, but it's actually the items that matter in these categories. So today's college student is savvy and intends to make a statement of who they are and what they support through their purchases and their associated brands.
They're finding themselves. They're true personalities.
They do. They believe they have actually found themselves, and this is how they're expressed themselves amongst their newfound friends or how they're going to reinvent themselves. Well, remember those days?
No, but how nice for them.
Yeah, how nice for you guys. So their trend is they want to be minimal and functional, yet expressive. Mm. And they tend to focus on the key investments that they deem important and leave other things to the dollar stores or big boxes like pencils and notebooks for items that are not quite as important to them.
I think those are very important items.
Well, you would think. I think the teachers think they're important. But first of all, it's a digital generation. Mm. And
so notebooks are exotic.
No, yeah. Pencil? What's that?
A pencil.
Yeah.
Sounds dirty.
How do you, what happens when it runs out of lead, or how do you get it to work?
Where's the button?
Let's talk about what types of things that young adults are purchasing for college.
Please.
In electronics, what the majority of items that are selling, and I'm talking about majority because I know anyone can sell the latest MacBook, but here's what happens and what we see peak during the back to college season.
Mm-hmm.
PC laptops under 500 and under 300.
Ooh, those have to be like used, right?
Used, refurbished, or super basic.
Super basic.
Yeah,
okay.
Super basic. And then MacBooks between $800 and $1,200.
Okay.
So again, yeah. Similar boat. iPads under $750 and streaming devices like Hulu.
Now, wait a minute. They don't have time for TV. They got to be studying.
Supposedly. But, they do live there for the year. So they will have weekends.
What's a weekend?
A Friday night.
It's time to study
or so
on the weekend.
On. Yeah, yeah. But you know what's interesting is when I went to college, people were moving TVs in.
Oh, right.
Nobody has a TV anymore.
No, they watch it on their laptop.
Or that's right. Yeah. Or and that's why they need Hulu, because they don't also pay for cable.
Okay, I get it.
Yeah. So the other screen, cell phones, iOS or Androids with 16 gigs or more.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't a price point there, so I don't know. Maybe there's no budget there, mom and dad, but
they're expensive if they're new.
That's right. They are. But it's that size, again, that matters. It's 16 gigs or more. And then for anyone that's a gamer and living in the dorms, monitors, monitor stands. I mean, people that are typing papers also need these things. Extra video game controllers, over-ear headphones, as well as earbuds, AirPods, and Apple keyboards specifically, we're seeing increase in sales.
How about a book on time management? I think they're going to need it.
That's what the cell phone is for.
Well, how do you connect all these things? I'm sure those are hot.
Oh, actually, that's next on my list.
I wonder how I knew that.
So cables and cords are important. Extension cords, power surge protectors, and preferably with USB ports and at least 600 joules or higher. If you don't know what a joule is, physics class or electricians know, but basically the wattage, right? So 600 joules or higher, 1080 joules or more work for a multiple charger setup.
And that's the protect in case of a surge. They'll protect up to that power level.
That's right. Right. Yeah, because those dorms, they'll have power outages and things like that. When you buy the inexpensive power surge protector, you're not necessarily protecting the computer, the phone, the monitor, and all those things plugged into the one outlet on their side of the room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a solution for this.
What's that?
Notebooks. And pencils.
Notebooks and pencils.
You don't need any protection from those. All right, what's the next category?
Home and garden. We automatically think of small appliances, but some dorms now come with fridge and microwaves and don't allow coffee makers or such because they offer kitchens in the buildings. Mm. But there are many other decor items that students are lugging to school.
So no Keurigs, right?
Well, Keurigs are okay. Some people still do that, but single press or slim small coffee and espresso machines are ranking high.
Oh.
Personal blenders, electric kettles, water filter jugs, water bottles, hydro flasks, and commuter mugs also high on the list.
Personal blender.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like
a tiny little blender.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. It's only for
like
you.
Like a bullet or.
It's not for anyone else.
It's not for anyone else. No one's sharing their margarita mixes
right.
here.
You can go mash up your own stuff.
Yeah.
This is for me.
This is mine. Okay. This is my statement.
Hey, that's my personal blender. Hands
my
off.
My personal blender. There's no way I got the whole dorm drunk with the margarita mix because only I had the blender.
Right. We were more communal generation.
We were.
Yeah. Kids today.
There's little space in dorms still. That hasn't changed. Yeah. And young adults now don't love the clutter of appliances. In fact, to me, it looked like they wanted space for their snacks and their video games.
Priorities.
Right. So in addition, in this particular category of home and garden, mattress toppers, bedding, and by the way, I recommend bringing 2 fitted sheets mm-hmm. for those that don't wash all the time.
Are you going to do their laundry? Do you show
them? I am not.
Okay, good.
No. Pillows for both sleeping and for decorating are selling. Throw rugs, laundry bags, or collapsible laundry baskets are popular. Mm. And speaking of laundry, pods and dryer sheets are preferred to liquid bottles that are heavy to carry.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Personal fans, lamps, hangers, storage bins and shelves, racks, and bike rack mounts are popular.
Once again, that word personal. Hey, yeah. Get out of the breeze. That's my personal fan breeze.
You know, and you don't look at it as them being selfish. It's this is who I am as an individual.
Yeah, I look at them as being selfish. But go on.
All right, great.
Everyone will need personal movers with all this stuff.
Yes, the unpaid parents are usually the hired interns for this.
I'm so lucky I never had kids. Anything else to call out?
One last category, fashion.
Oh, my category. I love it.
Yes. Well, you probably have a plethora of knowledge here. It's hard to name all the back-to-school shopping brands in clothing and shoes. I will recommend sticking to what works for you. Continue to sell the brands that are working for you. But I do want to mention a few health and beauty must-haves for students. Toothbrushes, number one.
Well, of course.
Not just for hygiene, but they want the fancy ones. The electric toothbrushes from $7 Oral-B, which is the top-selling brand, to the Philips Sonicare Diamond Clean Toothbrush. I didn't even price that one because I already know it's expensive.
Yeah.
The shower wraps, robes, kimonos, sandals, and carriers. Those are popular.
Kimonos,
yes.
Kimono in my dorm room.
Oh, my gosh.
You should
you would have fit right in. Yeah. So facial care, face washes, acne treatments, teeth whiteners, washcloths, makeup brushes, and beauty blenders.
You still look like an adolescent, but go ahead.
Well, they try.
Yeah, they do.
Backpacks, specifically Herschel.
My favorite brand of backpack.
It's great.
I love them.
Yeah. The Fjällräven.
They're good.
Fjällräven. Yeah. JanSports, Kipling,
them.
ASOS, and Carhartt.
Carhartt, they're wonderful.
They are.
So those are, now you're talking to me. That was great.
Right up your alley.
This next item just leaves me in the past.
Okay. Birkenstocks.
Please.
They have been back.
I know.
And they're popular, and they're still popular.
I just think of smelly hippie feet, but go ahead.
Vans, Adidas, and Nike are
those
all
I know, yeah.
great footwear brands as well. And then these two were interesting to me. Chapstick. And
keep those lips kiss ready.
Right. That's what I was thinking.
Snog ready.
Yeah. So Chapstick.
And Bath and Body Works.
Bath and Body Works.
Which makes sense to me. I love that company.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's good.
I buy stuff from them.
Yeah. But no candles in the dorms.
Please.
Sorry. You've got the wallpaper, you know, the
you could light the
plug-ins.
Whole dorm. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that would be horrible.
Yeah, exactly.
It's fascinating to dig into this shopping list of college adults, Jen, but You know, as Alexander Hamilton puts it, teach me how to say goodbye. For more details, check out the sourcing info in July's Seller Digest. You can find all this information and more. Jen, that's all the time we have today.
Well, Griff, it's been fun. I will see you next month.
Next month. I can't wait. We've been talking to Jen Deal about what's hot for college students. That's What's Hot, the College Edition, and it's on their wish lists for this fall. Stay tuned. We got questions coming up. You got questions? We got answers. It's time for that segment. What do you think?
Very exciting. I always look forward to this every week with you, Griff.
Well, before we start, if you have questions you want answered on our eBay for Business podcast, call us at 888-723-4630 and leave a message there. Or you can email us at podcast@ebay.com, or you can go to ebay.com/podcast and submit your question via the feedback form that's right there. The link's right there in that beautiful mustard yellow box.
Yes. Right. Very exciting.
So first, let's go to the phones, because a caller named Dan has a question about local pickup. Let's listen in first.
Daniel Moriarty, I have a question. A buyer wants to do a local pickup. How does eBay get paid for the commission on it? Thanks.
Okay.
So, Griff, how does one accommodate a buyer request for a local pickup?
Well, I'm really glad Dan asked this, because local pickup is still confusing for so many sellers. First, it's really important when you list an item, if you're willing to have someone come by and pick up an item as opposed to shipping it, then you must offer that as a shipping option when you're listing the item. You can also add it as an option while the item is still live if it's a fixed price listing. So you can always go in and revise your shipping and add local pickup. Here's the problem. You can't add it after the listing closes. If you have a listing where a buyer has purchased an item and local pickup was not the option, was not offered as an option, you didn't provide one, there's no way for that to be part of the record. Based on Dan's question, there are two possible things that Dan was talking about. One is that he didn't offer local pickup and now a buyer wants to pick it up. You can, I mean, sure, it's your prerogative, but you will take a hit in your shipping metrics because we expect that the item is to be shipped since you did not offer local pickup. Okay. You can't call customer support and have that changed. They keep that in mind. The other option or the other scenario that Dan may be speaking about is that he hasn't even sold the item and someone says, hey, I want to come and buy it from you and I'll pay you. Because he said something telling. He said, how does eBay get its commission? Now you're talking something that's a little bit more risky. If a buyer contacts you, a buyer in quotes, by the way, and says, hey, I just want to come by and buy this from you. Can I do that? Well, you can. That's your prerogative. It's your judgment. It's your choice. You can sell anything to anyone. And I guess in a scenario like this, you'd end the eBay listing and have this stranger come to your house. Here's the thing. Once you do that, it is not an eBay sale. If something goes wrong, you are on your own. To me, I would never do this as a seller because to me, it smells like the potential for fraud or worse. Remember, this is a stranger coming to your place of business or your home. You don't know who they are. They're not known on eBay necessarily. Mm-hmm. And if you conduct the transaction off eBay and something goes wrong, no matter what it is, you're on the hook and you don't have eBay to back you up. So I would be careful about that. If you want to add local pickup, you can have up to three options, shipping options, and one of them can be local pickup. You can have it as be the only option if you have something that's very heavy that you're never going to ship. You can say no shipping, just local pickup only, and that's all from the drop-down menu. Or you can add it to your shipping options, and so that if a buyer sees this and says, hey, I can don't have to have it shipped, I can just come pick it up, then that works. And if you have your payment options for local pickup are select pay on pickup when you're listing, and any other payment method you'd like to accept. You'll need to offer buyers at least one of the approved electronic methods, and you cannot discourage buyers from using any payment method you specified in the listing. We don't recommend accepting payment methods that take time to clear, such as checks. And by the way, if you have local pickup happen, get proof of collection, like a signed receipt or invoice or an eBay message from the buyer, which states that they've picked up the item. And this can protect you against item not received cases. In your item description or checkout instructions, specify when and how the buyer can collect the item. Don't add your full address, just the area will do. You may need to get in touch with them after the listing ends to confirm the details of the pickup. And one other point. A lot of local police stations offer safe places for buyers and sellers on internet transactions who meet in person to conduct the final part of the transaction. So check that out. You may not want a stranger coming to your home, but you're willing to have local pickup. In that case, see if there's a safe area provided by your law enforcement authorities in your town or county.
Yes.
We have a bunch of other questions that came in through different sites. Let's get these in the lightning round.
All right, here we go, Griff. First question. From our podcast feedback form, Bling Rescue asks, can there be a new sales category for eBay? Marijuana.
No.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to list certain items in the site that are illegal in some states. It's still a federal crime to possess and to sell marijuana. No, there's not going to be one of those categories on the site. Probably not in our lifetime. Next. No.
Planet Power's sales are down since adding Good Till Cancel Griff. Will we reverse the policy and what can they do?
We will not reverse the policy, and you are making a coalition assumption as opposed to causation. Your sales are not down because of Good Until Canceled. There are always things you can do to combat slow sales, but you need to evolve as a seller and with the platform. Look at the trends. How are your listings? What's selling and what's not selling? I got to tell you, a lot of sellers who have said to me, my sales are slow, I go and look at their inventory. They have 50 things listed.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot make any velocity out of 50 listings.
No.
You have to continually add listings. In my estimation as a seller and as an observer of sellers for the last 20 years plus, you have to have at least 200 items on the site to get any sort of flywheel, and you have to keep adding items. 50 items ain't going to cut it. Next.
There we go. From the community feedback form, Gillijan3S1PG6 asks why we don't offer email tech support.
Yeah, you know, I'm not really sure. We used to a long time ago in the beginning of eBay, and there was a decision made to focus on phone, and that's what we do. There are options if you go to ebay.com/help/home.
Yeah.
But I don't have a specific answer, but you're right. We don't offer email tech support as a rule. But if you need to talk to somebody immediately and you want not to call eBay customer support, there's always the community, community.ebay.com. You can find a lot of people there can offer you answers to basic questions and even sometimes some thorny questions.
Similarly, Griff, Big Doe 77751 wants to know how they can contact eBay.
www.ebay.com/help/home. There's a help and contact link at the top of every page. This takes you to a help page where you can click on a recent order for help, review help articles around frequently asked questions, and see other contact options. Again, account-related issues are best handled via phone with a customer service agent who can access your account.
All right. Changing gears a bit, Lean Silly Zero wants to buy on eBay but not use PayPal.
Well, there are other payment options unless the seller just takes PayPal. Currently at the moment, that's probably a majority of the listings on the site. There are other ways using credit cards, and if the seller is in the managed payments program, you can use a whole range of payment options. And as managed payments rolls out over the next 2 years, you'll see more and more sellers. Their listings will have a wide variety of different payments you can use. But at the moment, that's just the reality on eBay.
Okay. All right. And we talked about this a little bit last week, but PhoebeBird25 is frustrated that eBay and PayPal don't communicate more with each other.
Well, that's because eBay and PayPal are two entirely different and separate companies. There's a lot of sellers who remember that PayPal and eBay used to be part of the same company, and I think they expect that relationship would continue after the separation. But the way that companies run, that's not the case. So if you have a PayPal issue, PayPal has to deal with it. eBay can't. And that's been the rule for the last, 3 years now?
All right.
Yeah,
GR3746 is not sure of what shipping options to use when listing an item. How do you know when to use a padded envelope or a box, Griff?
Well, what are you selling? Ask yourself what you're selling. So for example, I'm selling CDs right now, and I'm using padded envelopes.
Mm-hmm.
If I was selling selling CDs in lots of 10 or 20, I'd use a box.
There you go.
Now, shipping suggestions are made when you're listing. You can also go to Seller Center and search shipping to learn more. Depends, again, on the size and the weight of the item. A lot of sellers have packing options on hand and weigh and test packaging when listing. I do that. So if I know I'm going to sell something and it's a big boxy item, maybe by, 10 inches by 8 inches by 6 inches, I look for a box that's going to fit in. Then I weigh it, make sure that I've got those dimensions for the box, not the item, the box and the weight. And you enter that in when you list the item.
EBK1227 wants to know why a gift card can't be used to purchase coins.
Well, there are limits on redeeming eBay gift cards, and it includes time and spending threshold limits. And additionally, eBay gift cards cannot be used, as this questioner has noticed, to buy other eBay gift cards, third-party gift cards, gift certificates, coupons, coins, paper money, and virtual currency, or items generally considered to be bullion, for example, gold, silver, and other precious metals. A lot of this has to do with fluctuating value. Mm-hmm. So a lot of these things fluctuate in value, which makes it potentially a system that a buyer can game by buying and selling. So yeah, you can't use eBay gift cards to purchase coins.
And our final question, final round, final Jeopardy.
Sure.
Dolce Cat says, I used to get free shipping supplies coupons with my store subscription. What happened to that?
Well, they're still there. They're every quarter, so they come out every 90 days. On the first day of the quarter, the calendar quarter, so the 1st of January, 1st of April, 1st of July, and the 1st of October. If you go to your store homepage and you're signed in as the store owner, you will see a link up in the right-hand top for Manage My Store. Go to Manage My Store, and then once that page loads, look over to the left, and you'll see something called Subscriber Discounts under Store Design. Click that, and then on the next page, you'll see a bunch of different offers for Gusto, for LegalZoom, for QuickBooks, Vistaprint. But the first one is for eBay shipping supplies. Click on See Details, and if you have a coupon that you haven't redeemed in this quarter, it'll show up in the box. Just copy it and paste it into the box provided on checkout when you buy eBay shipping supplies. The coupon value will be applied to that invoice. Remember that, as you probably know, that the coupon can only be used once, so try to use it right to its limit. I always buy just a little bit more and end up paying a few dollars so that I use the whole coupon value in one checkout. And that's it.
All right.
Wow.
We did it.
I can't believe it. So again, let me go through the ways you can send us questions in case you have a question you want us to mangle. Go up to you want us to answer. Have your question answered on eBay for Business. Call us at 888-723-4630. Again, that number is 888-723-4630. Or you can email us at podcast@ebay.com. That's podcast@ebay.com. Or you can go to ebay.com/podcast and submit your question via the feedback form, the link to which is contained in a beautiful mustard yellow box on that page.
Yes, so many options.
And with that, those are our questions for this week. It's time for us to lower the curtain on this episode. My, would you look at the time?
Another hour, another show.
So, Doug, are you familiar enough now with Terapeak?
I should say so. Well, we've more than adequately covered that one, I think. What's up for next week, Griff?
On our next episode of the eBay for Business podcast, we'll explore the topic of business betterment.
Business betterment. What does that mean, Griff?
Well, what do you think, Doug? Business as in, well, business, and betterment as in?
Betterment. I get it. Making your business better then.
Something like that. You'll have to tune in to learn more.
I will make a note of that.
See that you do. In the meantime, if you have questions about an eBay topic, you can always send them our way.
For our manglement.
What?
Like business betterment. Question and answer manglement.
Please, we're not that bad.
I'll take your word on that one.
Anyway, like I said in the last segment, you can send us your questions via phone, 888-723-4630. You can call that hotline any time of the day, any day of the week. Leave a question or comment, and we just might put it on the air.
Or email, which is podcast@ebay.com. That's podcast@ebay.com. Or you can submit a question on the form provided in the mustard yellow box on the webpage at ebay.com/podcast.
Hey, are you sad because all your friends are gearing up for a summer vacation while you stay at home to tend to your business? Mm-hmm. Well then, take it from me. Vacations are way overrated. In fact, did you know that 12.3 million Americans travel abroad for vacations every year? Now think about it. Do you really want to run into 12.3 million of your fellow U.S. citizens while navigating through a foreign country? Of course not. You'd have to be out of your mind. And you're not, so why not instead visit with a manageable number of like-minded eBay sellers at a local eBay seller meetup in your area? At seller meetups, sellers share tips, stories, insights, and even vacation photos.
Oh, no.
You can see meetups that are scheduled on our special eBay community page for meetups at www.ebay.com/meetups.
And don't forget to tune into our weekly live video stream on the eBay for Business Facebook page every Wednesday at 12:30 p.m. Pacific Time. go to facebook.com/ebayforbusiness.
Are we still doing community chats in Alan's absence?
Yes, we are.
So we should say that at 1 o'clock every Wednesday, you can join our community chat and talk with either our expert community chat staffers or sometimes employees on specific topics, depending on what team they're from. Just go to the community.ebay.com and look for the link for community chat.
And Griff, that's our show for this week.
Release the credits. The eBay podcast team, head of community, Brian Burke.
Community manager and co-host in absentia, Alan Aisbett.
Come back, Alan. Your bro, Doug, misses you. Marketing strategist, Liz Austin.
Podcast editor-in-chief and wrangler of cats, Griff.
My esteemed co-host in Alan's absence, executive segment producer and podcast guest booker, Dano Smith, a.k.a. Doug Smith, a.k.a. Snoop Doggy.
I don't want to freak out my fans, but I've retired Snoop Doggy. I'm Dougalicious D now.
No, you're not. You're Dano now. I christen the Dano the Booker, you know, like book him down. Yeah.
I do. I don't think that's going to...
That wasn't a question. eBay for Business is produced and distributed by Libsyn and Podcast 411. Hey, book them, Dano.
All right.
There it is. I don't think it was that bad. It's just a lot of terapeak, wasn't it?
A bit.
Yeah.
But heavy, I think, on the terapeak.
But now, you know, people know more about terapeak.
Peaking on the terapeak.
Yeah. Well, we had questions and other things. So it was a well-rounded show overall.
Yes.
Now we have to work really hard. We have to work really hard because we got to get 2 shows in the can before I go on vacation.
That's true.
So
was the last time you took a vacation?
I think it was 1997.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I'm kidding. It was 1994. Anyway, I think we don't have time for a long ad lib because you got to get to work.
All right, I do. I have to post an SNA.
Yeah, okay. We'll see you soon. Bye.
All right, thanks. Bye. You hang up.